This episode of the UAV Digest is sponsored by GoEngineer, provider of design, engineering, and 3D printing solutions for the aerospace and unmanned vehicles industries. To learn more, visit the UAVDigest.com/GoEngineer. You're listening to episode 243 of the UAV Digest. I'm Max Flight in Hartford, Connecticut.
And I'm David Vanderhoof in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Hey, Max, we've got another week and another show.
Yes, we do. And we've had a pretty significant announcement from the U.S. Department of Transportation.
We did, and I think we'll be discussing that in some detail. But we do have some other stories, like the response to that announcement. The future of Aurora's hybrid electric VTOL X-plane is up in the air. I didn't write that one, folks. My co-host did.
It was too easy.
And Uber wants to be your air taxi, but so do others. And we'll go into a little bit more detail about Uber and their announcements and our weekly segment on This Week in Air Taxis. Mm. So I guess we should get started, Max. We've got a lot of DOT news. Well, our first story comes from the FAA, and this was a press release, and it's the U.S. Department of Transportation Secretary Elaine Chao announces unmanned aircraft systems integration pilot program selectees. Okay, that's a lot of words. What does that mean? We know what the pilot program was. We talked about it when I was in Baltimore for the FAA meeting. What are we talking about, Max?
Well, the U.S. Department of Transportation received more than 140 applications for this pilot program. Now, we'll recall that the program was something that the president wanted in order to kind of jumpstart or accelerate integration of drones into the national airspace. And under this program, the DOT was directed to select five initially, state, local, or tribal governments in order to collaborate with private sector organizations. And so it's an interesting tact. They didn't go for companies, organizations to head up each of these projects. They went to governments. And the DOT just announced that they had selected 10 of them. So they doubled the at least five requirement, 10 of them to conduct flight tests under this program. And it really is kind of a wide variety of governments, different locations, and different types of projects under the program.
And, okay, let's be specific that the word pilot, meaning to start or preliminary program, not fly, but the pun was duly noted by a lot of people. But this was the FAA and the Department of Transportation being charged by the federal government that it is a cooperation between state, local, and tribal governments, corporations, with the FAA and the Department of Transportation sort of massaging and moderating, but letting those organizations do what they do best, and the DOT taking back and not being reactionary, but being working with them as a team, but letting them do all of the work and just sort of guiding and absorbing it. And so it's a very different strategy than a top down from the Department of Transportation. You are going to do this. This is what we need here. What are your solutions? So we'll start off with surprisingly the first thing, and I believe these are in alphabetical order, was the Choctaw Nation of Oklahoma in Durant, Oklahoma. They're going to study beyond visual line of sight for agriculture, public safety, and infrastructure operations. They are going to invest in mobile ground-based detect and avoid radars and advanced weather infrastructure. Their partners will be CNN and Green Valley Farms Living Laboratory. So they're going to work together with those corporate entities to come up with solutions and then provide them to the Department of Transportation. So who's next, Max?
Next, we have the City of San Diego, California, and they're going to take a look at border protection and package delivery of food. There's a secondary focus on international commerce, also smart city and autonomous vehicle interoperability and surveillance. Now, they're going to leverage their indoor testing facilities as well as some drone landing stations and ports.
The next one would be the Innovation and Entrepreneurship Investment Authority of Herndon, Virginia. Bet you didn't think I was going to say that right.
You got it.
Facilitate package delivery in rural and urban settings. Include the use of enabling technologies such as detect and avoid, identification and tracking, radar systems and mapping tools. Leverage existing expertise through partnerships with the Virginia Tech UAS site, NASA, and stakeholders with cybersecurity expertise. And Max, Herndon is right next to what minor little airport?
Yeah, it's right next to Dulles.
It's interesting that they're leveraging cybersecurity, which is in that area of, if you've never been to that area, is the corridor between Dulles and Washington, D.C. is definitely high-tech central on the East Coast. So there are a lot of companies that deal with cybersecurity. So it's interesting that they're doing that there. So maybe we can, when we're down there, we can find somebody from the Innovation and Entrepreneurship Investment Authority of Herndon, Virginia. So who's next? We'll go a little farther out west.
Next up is the Kansas Department of Transportation in Topeka, Kansas. They're going to deploy UAS to support BVLOS, Beyond Visual Line of Sight operations in rural communities. And they are going to leverage a statewide unmanned traffic management system to facilitate precision agriculture operations. Now, in order to do that, they're going to use a variety of technologies such as detect and avoid, ADS-B, satellite communications, and geofencing. And this program is to use the existing in-state resources such as the fiber optic networks and UAS traffic management, or UTM.
By now you can tell there's a little overlap in all of these.
I like that.
But I like that too. And I mean, and precision agriculture in Oklahoma will probably be different than Kansas. So they're trying to blend things, and they'll be able to compare and contrast. All of that will be done by the Department of Transportation.
Yeah, I think in part, one of the objectives of this is data collection, is to make available, well, to the community as a whole, to the industry, but also to the Department of Transportation, data concerning these kinds of operations. And of course, that helps when it comes to establishing the regulations that will ultimately surround all of this. The next government entity that was awarded a project under this is the Lee County Mosquito Control District in Fort Myers, Florida. Now, they're going to look at low-altitude aerial applications to control and also surveil the mosquito population. This is larger than small UAS. This is a 1,500-pound UAS. And the proposal that they submitted includes scalable solutions that take into account a broad range of current and future technologies, things like ground-based detect and avoid radar systems that would integrate ADS-B, also infrared imaging and satellite technology. Now, interestingly, this proposal also included night operations, BVLOS, and operations over people. So they really are hitting up a number of technologies here, all in the interests of controlling the mosquito population.
I was going to say controlling the state bird of Florida.
They'll love that. You'll get hate mail for that, David.
I also come from New Jersey, so that's also one of the, where the state bird is the mosquito.
Yeah.
This one is, I'd like to follow this one because there was something to control and surveil. I wonder if they're going to do any sort of spraying with this UAS, with the 1,500-pound UAS. I have a feeling that they're going to be doing some spraying. And I like the night operations, which has been very limited as far as studying that. If we move a little up north to Memphis-Shelby County Airport Authority in Memphis, Tennessee, inspection of FedEx aircraft and autonomous operations that support airport operations such as perimeter security, surveillance, and package delivery. Operations will be working with UTM concept, would also work with manned air traffic. And of course, needless to say, who are they teaming up with? FedEx and AgriCentra International. If you don't know about Memphis-Shelby County Airport Authority, that's the hub of FedEx. If you've purchased a FedEx package or you're going through there, eventually, most likely, that package is going to go through that their hub. So it's going to be interesting that they're going to use it to surveil both the aircraft and the perimeter, as well as package delivery. So can you imagine the drones flying in and out of the airplanes at FedEx? It's kind of an interesting concept.
Yeah, this is very exciting, I think. That hub is phenomenal. I have been on the tour. FedEx gives a tour, and the tour of this operation in Memphis starts at 10 p.m. and runs till about 1 in the morning. And what you see is suddenly thousands and thousands of automobiles with workers arrive in the parking lots. They all fill up. Suddenly the sky is lit up with more aircraft than you've probably ever seen arriving at one airport. And all this is coordinated in an amazing fashion. So if you're going to take a look at using drones in and around airports, this is probably a great, great test case. And maybe that's why they were awarded under this program. So I'm glad to see that there is one of these projects anyway that is going to be so heavily related to airport operations. I think we'll learn a lot from this one. But up next, the North Carolina Department of Transportation in Raleigh, North Carolina. Now, they're going to test local package delivery within a defined airspace. They're going to establish drone delivery stations in local communities. This is an approach that they hope would enable small businesses to utilize this delivery platform for commercial purposes. And as you might think, one of the things they're going to look at is operation over human beings, beyond visual line of sight, as well as during the day and at night. Also, ADS-B, detect and avoid technologies, UTM, and radar technologies. So again, a broad spectrum of technologies here.
Followed by North Dakota, the North Dakota Department of Transportation in Bismarck, North Dakota. Wide variety of diverse operations that incorporate advanced technologies that seek to expand UAS operations at night and beyond visual line of sight. Like a program that rhymes. Focus on data from four criteria: external systems, aircraft systems, technologies, training requirements, and processes and procedures. Operations will be in multiple types of airspace, ranging from rural to urban areas. Scalable operations for a multitude of UAS industries, including linear infrastructure inspections, crop health monitoring, media reporting, and emergency response. We know North Dakota and Bismarck is a test center, and the University of North Dakota is heavily in aviation as well as beginning drone programs. So this is definitely going to be a data hub, data collection kind of process.
Yes.
So more data centric than necessarily experimentation.
Now we have two more, and the next one seems to be the one that shows up in the press most often in the stories that are describing all of this. And that's the city of Reno, Nevada. And they're going to look at time-sensitive delivery of medical equipment, life-saving medical equipment, like defibrillators in emergency situations. They're going to look at that in both urban and rural environments. They're going to integrate additional infrastructure, such as radar and weather data, in order to expand the capability, the UAS capability. So they hope that it would save between 28 and 34 lives per year, they calculate, using just one drone in a 3-mile city radius. Part of this is to consider how this scales. They're looking for a nationwide scalable model for medical delivery operations. And they have several commercial medical partners, but also one of the partners is Flirty, who we've talked about many, many times. And that's what a lot of the press reports mention. When you have a medical emergency, David, I imagine that you want to respond quickly. And if there's not a lot of manual steps in there, that really helps with speed.
Yeah, the afternoon I had this afternoon, not that I'm well, but speed was of the essence, at least to calm my nerves. But if you can imagine, the Sweeney wants to put the defibrillator carrying drones in Reno FedEx stores, which can be dispatched to locals undergoing cardiac arrest. Based on the population density of Reno, Sweeney said that the AED carrier drones have the ability to save one life every 2 weeks. And we talked about this, I guess, a couple years ago, about dispatching a drone carrying life-saving medication and defibrillators to scenes so that you can attack the issue in those vital first 10 minutes or so that you need to have for a defibrillator to work until the paramedics arrive.
And these folks in Reno don't plan on wasting any time at this. It's noted that they expect the first test flights for this project will begin or are likely to begin within the next 90 days. So we should be seeing some results quickly. But we have one more, David. What's the last government entity in this group of 10?
The University of Alaska Fairbanks in Fairbanks, Alaska. And this seemed perfectly normal, which was their primary study will be pipeline inspection and surveying in remote areas and harsh climate conditions. Yeah, I would say the state of Alaska is perfect for that environment.
Yes.
Other type of operations in urban and rural areas ranging from public safety to UAS detection. Enabling technologies that include collision avoidance, detect and avoid day and night, ADS-B, differential GPS, satellite services, infrared imaging, and of course UTM. And all of those could have issues in bad weather. And I can't think of another place that has a pipeline as long as the Alaska pipeline. What'll be interesting to see about the Alaska pipeline is we'll see what it does to the animals that live and breathe around the Alaska pipeline. Alaska, when they built the pipeline, made it very clear that it had to be environmentally friendly, and you know, it's tall so the deer can walk underneath it and stuff. So having drones buzz up and down it, I wonder how that's going to affect the wildlife.
Well, you know, all together, these 10 projects are really exciting. At least they are to me, David. I think that we cover a lot of technologies. We spoke before about how they're overlapping in some regards, which I think is great. I just have a really great feeling about this. I hope all these groups will be able to, you know, move forward successfully with the projects that they've signed up for here.
Yeah, I mean, agreed. I think we're in a good place. We're getting more focused considering how exciting it was with the test sites, but then it was like, okay, what are they supposed to test? Which was a top-down they were looking for direction from the FAA and the Department of Transportation with the original test sites. In this case, these organizations came up with what they wanted to test and are sort of volunteering to set up the programs and work with their local businesses to provide the desperate data they need for the Department of Transportation and FAA for rulemaking. I'm sure that we will be talking about this more and more as we go forward. But let's talk about the Small UAV Coalition. The Small UAV Coalition, and if you want to find more about them, there'll be links in the show notes, represents consumer and technology companies across the spectrum. And they are very happy with the notification of UAS operations to engage in air transportation that was published to the Federal Register. And of course, we talked about that last episode.
Yes, the Small UAV Coalition issued a press release, and they said that they applaud the Department of Transportation for announcing that it will use existing exemption authority to grant economic authority to unmanned aircraft systems operators seeking to carry property in air transportation. They say an important step to expedite UAS delivery operations in the United States. The coalition says they've long encouraged the DOT to take this step, and they're pleased that it'll be available to operators as the UAS Integration Pilot Program gets underway. That's what we just talked about, the IPP. But that's just one of the releases from the Small UAV Coalition. There's another one that relates back to this Integration Pilot Program.
And we quote, "The coalition is pleased that the UAS IPP has moved forward so quickly since it was first established by the president just a few months ago. The pace is emblematic of the urgency around developing a regulatory framework that will enable the safe integration of UAS into the national airspace and allow the United States to keep pace with other countries that are increasingly moving beyond pilot programs to ubiquity and integration. The coalition also appreciates Secretary Chao has selected more than the minimum of 5 required applicants and is hopeful that the department will select many additional participants as possible during the life cycle of the program, particularly since one of the main objectives of the IPP is to collect data that will inform the development of future and much-needed UAS regulations." So clearly everybody was sort of surprised that they took 10 instead of 5, which was the minimum, which is a good sign. And again, the Department of Transportation and the FAA moved fairly quickly on this, Max.
They did, and that's really encouraging. I think that's part of the theme of this whole program is to try to accelerate all of this, the study, the technology, and the regulations. So, yeah, I feel like we're on a good course with this now. Happy to hear.
So I guess we should move on a little bit to some other news. This one came from Aviation Leak and Space Technology, AviationWeek.com. Sorry, folks, I'm old school.
Oh, dear.
And it's DARPA pulls the plug on Aurora's hybrid electric VRTOL X-plane, otherwise known as the XV-24A Lightning Strike, which is from Boeing's subsidiary, Aurora Flight Sciences. So it's not like DARPA pulls the plug on programs, Max. What's wrong with the XV-24?
Well, I think nothing specifically. Now, these programs operate in phases. There's 3 phases. And the first phase was a scale demonstrator of this vehicle. And that was fine. It was a 20% scale, all-electric demonstrator. And that flew in April of 2016. Of course, Aurora had won this contract for phases 2 and 3 of the program just a month before, in March 2016. Well, the full-scale demonstrator, phase 2, isn't apparently progressing fast enough or well enough for DARPA. And there doesn't seem to be a commercial transition partner. This is something that DARPA looks for in these programs. As you start to move beyond just the early development phases, they look for a transition partner, and they don't really have that here. So DARPA's decided that they'll disengage from the program And as they say, you know, look to invest their money in other priorities.
In a way, it's kind of like what we have up above. DARPA wants to not be the sole provider of the funds, but they want somebody to come aboard to leverage their expertise and money, and it doesn't seem to happen. The XV-24 was going to be powered by a Rolls-Royce AE-1007 turboshaft. The engine drives a gearbox with 3 1-megawatt generators that the electricity powers through 24 ducted fans, 18 on the tilting main wing and 6 on the tilting canard foreplane. This one was one of the ones when we originally saw it, we sort of went, okay, that just isn't, it's just weird. So it's with the 20th scale model. So it's ducted fans in wings and it kind of looks spaceship-y, but you know, it's sort of electric, a lot of little electric motors driving a lot of little air propellers. So, well, we're sorry to see the XV-24A go, but I'm sure that something better will come along because that's why we do these experimentations. Not everything is supposed to work.
Right. And we don't know what Aurora Flight Sciences or Boeing sees as the future of this. Maybe they'll continue with it. Maybe they'll take some of the technologies they've developed and we'll see those appear in some different kind of aircraft. We don't know.
Well, Max, I'm opening up my app.
Your Uber app.
I'm opening up my Uber app.
And is there an air taxi in that app yet, David?
No, not yet.
But Uber has plans. Uber wants to develop a network of air taxi operators, presumably similar to what they do with automobiles. Uber has announced before this that they are interested in looking at this in Dallas and Dubai. And at the Uber Elevate Summit in Los Angeles, they announced that they want to add Los Angeles as a test market.
The Uber Elevate Summit in Los Angeles was this week. And Uber sees a network of air taxis flying 20% of the 45.8 million daily trips. And my co-host didn't do the math on that. Envision rooftop purpose-built skyports. Up to 1,000 landings and takeoffs per hour at the cost of 49 cents per passenger seat per mile.
That's pretty aggressive in terms of pricing. And the only way you achieve that kind of low pricing is through high volume. You need high volume from the manufacturers of these autonomous air taxis so they can get their unit costs down. And that may be the case if you are flying 20% of the 45.8 million daily trips. There are a lot of players in the autonomous air taxi. I hate to use the word market because I don't think it's that developed to call it the market, but there are a lot of companies with interest in that area.
I would say it's a marketplace. We're talking at least, I think we've talked about at least 10 different versions.
It feels that way.
There's definitely a competition, and there's clearly someone has determined that there is a market and or necessity for this. So I think you can safely say market.
In a new player, Embraer. I wasn't expecting this.
At Elevate, Embraer announced it's formed a division, Embraer X, to work on urban air taxis. Their four-passenger concept vehicle is called the Dreammaker. They want to be a supplier for Uber. Wonder how much Boeing's got in stake with this, given the Boeing Embraer stuff. But this could be kind of a nice niche market for Embraer, Max. What do you think?
Yeah. I think there are certainly a lot of good reasons for an airframer like Embraer to be looking at this market. Okay, I'll call it a market. It makes sense, I think. There's just so many entities involved in the prospect of air taxis, some with Uber, some on their own. But we see that NASA and Uber are planning on working together. They've signed an agreement.
Yeah, NASA's going to use computer modeling and simulation to assess the impact of small aircraft in crowded environments. You know, Max, let me tell you. Back when I was a little kid,
yes,
I read all these sort of stories about how we were going to have city-to-city air transportation.
Mm.
You know, back in the 70s, it was a big deal. Vistal ports were going to grow up everywhere, where commuter aircraft were going to be going downtown city centers like Toronto with their airport, or Meg's in Chicago, where we were going to be able to fly literally downtown, either by helicopter or by Vistal aircraft. I guess what's old is new again.
Yeah.
Because basically that's what we're coming through. Either that or we're finally getting our rocket cars that we were promised by the Jetsons.
That's right. The Jetsons. All we need now is Rosie the Robot, although I understand Amazon is working on that.
And if you saw some of the examples of what Uber has as its downtown Uber port or taxi port, it kind of looks like those city skyscrapers that they have in Jetsons that you fly into the tunnels. And it's very science fiction-y, and it looks like what's old is new again, with a little different technology. But hopefully this one will work. And again, as the co-host of this show and one of the founding members, I again will volunteer to be package for a air taxi package delivery. So if you need bulk weight, not that I have a lot anymore, but I will be happy to ride along as a dummy. So just to leave that out there. But so that includes the air taxi report for this week's episode.
That's right. So I think we should wrap it up. We want to thank you for listening to the UAV Digest. You can find us at the UAVDigest.com. We always have show notes for each episode. You can find them on that site. But if you want to go right to the show notes for this particular episode, well, that's at the UAVDigest.com/243.
And of course, we're all over social media. You can find us on Twitter at UAVDigest. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/UAVDigest. You can send us email at feedback@theuavdigest.com. And of course, you could become part of our Slack listener team. And you can do that by sending us a email, and you will be invited to our team and have a great time talking about drones beyond the weekly episode, and get to interact with Max and I, as well as our other listeners. Please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher or Google Play. And you can purchase some swag at our Cafe Press store. But of course, we want to thank you for listening. So this is David in Fort Washington.
And Max in Hartford.
Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.